Welcome to the Irish Pagan School podcast. Your hosts are authors and co-founders of the Irish Pagan School here in County Waterford, Ireland, Laura O'Brien and John O'Sullivan. Fáilte.
Bagdaí agus fáilte. Hi, hello and welcome. It is John O'Sullivan from the Irish Pagan School and we're here with our weekly coffee chat and check-in. So I have a community question to consider and to chat about there today. But before we do that, as ever, please make sure you're popping in the description, joining onto our mailing list and getting that free download from ourselves, which identifies good resources for paganism, Irish paganism, like, you know, spirituality. It's really a one-stop list for all the books we really hope you would read. And again, if you see something that's not on that list, it's probably not on the list for a very good reason. So please do make sure you're popping in and getting that free resource from ourselves. It also pops you onto our mailing list, which means you get the odd reminder during the week about what's going on with the Irish Pagan School. And it is from that email, one of those emails, that we got our community question. So every so often, we like to kind of send out a bit of a behind-the-scenes email, a bit of a get-to-know-us email. So it differs from the, you know, promotion of the resources that we release on a regular basis, the free resources, and also from the recommendation of the upcoming teachings or classes that are going on with the school. But this kind of third email slot that we like to do on a Friday is kind of like a behind the scenes. It's getting to know me and Laura as the individuals behind the Irish Pagan School. What's going on with us as people practicing in our spirituality, in our faith, as much as people, you know, producing and creating the content for others to, you know, grow and experience in their faith. So we got a response to the email I sent, and this one came from Luna. And Luna was wondering, question, I was wondering if you're interested in addressing the commercialization of paganism. Seems to me that capitalism takes over everything, even some things it may or may not understand. I watch your YouTubes and always enjoy and learn. Blessed be Luna. Well, Gormagus Luna, thank you very much for the blessings. We always appreciate it. I'm delighted that you're kind of engaging and connecting with our content. The commercialization of paganism and capitalism, it is a tricky one, and it's not an easy one to wrangle with because we're dealing with a number of different perspectives here. The traditional methods, the traditional kind of thought process around this is that you should never pay or never be paid for like teaching, spiritual guidance. But that's where things take a bit of a kind of awkward turn because our world, the worldview has actually changed. And so ancient traditions of community and hospitality and socialist society are no longer the standard form. So in our world, which is dominated by the exchange of goods and services, we are dealing with a different way of looking at things. And we end up in a bit of a bind over this. This is a conversation that Laura and I have had from many different perspectives, because at the school, we're aware of the fact that, like, you know, we have an obligation to provide a certain amount of community service that we do. And that is our drive to provide as much free content as possible. And the quality of the free content isn't just here's like a taster or here's like a small thing. Our free classes are full on free classes. You could take a free class and be done. It will give you a learning experience. It will give you further resources to go on and experience and grow your own spirituality. We pride ourselves on saying, you know, the second best class on a particular topic is our free class, whereas the primary class might be the intensive course that we offer. But that doesn't mean that there's any shift in quality, and we're very, very conscientious about that, because it is not just an exchange of money here. We're talking about an exchange of energy. We're talking about an investment of, you know, awareness and community that is very, very important to us here at the Irish Pagan School. We're not just in it for a quick book. Laura and I have joked about this many, many times. If we were just a little bit less ethical, we would be fucking minted. If we were more willing to compromise on our principles, if we were more willing to, like, you know, take the quick road, the easy road, if we were more willing to, I don't know, sell you cave mud from like the cave of Rathcrohan, like, you know, and like, that's not the business we're in. Absolutely not the business we're in. a lot of the classes, like, you know, at the Irish Pagan School, we get a time and again, people get frustrated because there is a financial exchange involved to access some of the teaching. And I'm going to cross my fingers and not forget to come back to, like, you know, why there is this disconnect in our modern society about it. But the price of the effort, the energy, the expertise that has gone into all of these teachings and to create an individual like Laura or myself who can provide these kind of education transformations, these kind of like pathways. Like, and again, it is, and I've talked about it multiple times, all of our education is designed to give you the tools to do it yourself, to give you the tools to take the actions that you need to do to find your transformation. I am not the source of your connection to the Dagda. You're the source of your connection to the Dagda. I might be able to just point you in the language or point you to the stories that will help you understand and kind of build a mutual bridge of comprehension and relationship, or this core equivalence, this right relationship with an ancient Irish deity. But it's your relationship. Like, you don't need me to translate your dreams for you. You don't need me to tell you the word of the Dagda. That is not what we do here. Absolutely not. I would never presume to speak for a deity at all, ever. And if I do kind of get experiences where a deity might be speaking to me about something, or speaking to me and letting me know about someone else's business, I'd have to sit with that very carefully to make sure, is this ego-driven me wanting to be involved in that? Or is it a case that, like, you know, I need to address a broader topic of education here as opposed to a specific individual response. But I feel like I'm rambling, so we need to pull back and get on topic here. So the teaching and the courses that we offer, we try and be as kind of honorable as we can around this. The pricing of it is to be as available and accessible as we can make it. You know, if we could just carry on running the Irish Pagan School and growing the Irish Pagan School to like a global organization that provides correct, real information, like honest and honorable kind of experiences with our indigenous spirituality, and not charge any money for it, we would be fucking delighted to. But that is not the world we live in. So this is where I'm going to cross my fingers and come back to it. A lot of people kind of feel that the tradition was always that, you know, your pastoral care or your sacerdotal skills provided by a druid, a white banfasa, a wise woman or whatever should never be charged for. What is misunderstood in that is that there may not have been an exchange of money or intrinsic value, but there was always some form of exchange. There was always some form of reciprocity involved in that. If we want to take it to a very clear and easy example to point at, Biddy Early, one of the most famous Irish kind of banfasa, wise women, some would say fairy expert in some ways, didn't charge money for it, no. But no one came to Biddy's house without something in hand to give her. In fact, she buried two husbands because of alcoholism, because a lot of people were actually, you know, giving her gifts of alcohol. Actually, I think it was three husbands. So she buried multiple husbands for alcoholism because people were coming to her house to seek her wisdom, to seek her services. But the reciprocity of the exchange, they gifted her bottles of whiskey, bottles of poaching, bottles of, you know, alcohol. And so, you know, she wasn't the biggest drinker herself, but multiple husbands lost their lives to alcohol. Different conversation from Irish cultural circumstances. I'm sure we can talk about it a different time. But there was an exchange. And if we go back to older kind of communities with banfasas or with druids in those circumstances, or even with bards, you know, there was an exchange for good and service, where like a bard, or for example, could travel outside their tour. They could travel to different chieftains. They could travel to different lands and perform in all of these other areas, providing their knowledge, providing their expertise, providing their stories as service to the place where they have arrived. But we're always given a place to stay, given a decent hearty meal, not just scraps, you know, like taken care of with gifts and with comforts and protection. That was the necessity of that cultural exchange at the time. And we even have it in the law tracts. You don't even have to be providing a good or service in the ancient Irish laws of hospitality. Anyone could turn up at, you know, wealthy individuals' houses and expect to be taken care of, expect to have a night of, like, you know, you're protected in my house and you're fed as if you were family. But also, like, you know, you can have, I think an interesting one is like no more than 6 pints of ale. A free man could expect no more than 6 pints of ale. But there's reciprocity. There's an exchange. There is some form of energetic interaction there. And so a member in the community who's providing, you know, midwifery or Banfasta services or natural philosophy or, like, you know, bardic performances, they get the reciprocity in the fact that they are fed, they are clothed, they are cared for. They wouldn't be walking away with money in their pocket for it, but they might be walking away with gifts. You know, if their performances were particularly high standards at particularly certain levels of chieftains, we would know that they would come away with some form to the show, either with new clothing, brooches, all of that kind of stuff, to show their status or to show the skill that they could provide. So there was always some form of exchange, always some form of interaction involved in all of this. But now, as we kind of move from the cultural history and the experiences of the past into our modern era, a lot of the barter doesn't exist anymore. You know, if someone could pay me for my class by turning up and, I don't know, fixing my shed, you know, mowing my lawn, giving me a sheep, making me a blanket, like, I would consider that, because that's then an like exchange of skill for skill. It's an exchange of effort and energy invested in that. Because that's what it really comes down to at the end of the day. When we talk about money, when we talk about, you know, the exchange of finances, money only has value because we all believe it has value. Take any coin you have from your currency of your country, take any note from the currency of your country, and look at it for what it is. Look at it for physically what it is. A lump of metal, a couple of lumps of metal, a piece of alloy kind of forged and stamped, or cotton, like it's a fabric that's been weaved and then dyed with colors put on it. It only has value because people believe it has value. It is the energetic understanding that this piece of currency, this lump of metal, this piece of fabric can be exchanged for X amount of goods and services because there is a belief or an energetic intent that it has a value. So when we talk about, you know, this commercialization or this exchange, right? We're no longer in a case where, you know, okay, you're going to trade me a whole load of hen's eggs or like a good set of boots for the knowledge I can give you in exchange, or the performance of bardic knowledge or bardic kind of storytelling I would do at your hearth fire as you hosted me. Like, that I have had the honor of being at different conferences, invited to different conferences, and I am taken care of. They take care of a hotel room for me. You know, they make sure that, like, I speak at these conferences, provide my knowledge, my experience, my skills, and there's a meal involved with that. Like, that's the reciprocity. That's the cycle of exchange that makes sure that, you know, artists are paid for their art. Experts are paid for their expertise. And that is, has always been the case. Now, that is one side of this story. The side where there does need to be some exchange. There does need to be some kind of reciprocity involved for the effort and energy and the expertise that is being provided in those circumstances. Anyone says that everything should be given away for free is not living in an equitable kind of understanding of what true reciprocity should be. Now, take that myth, take that kind of opinion that it should all be free and push it to the other extreme, that everything should be paid for. Everything should be monetized. That's when we get the two ends of the extreme both being wrong, where, you know, we have exploitation of natural resources all around the world, where, you know, vast amounts of land are being ripped apart just to pull a couple of gemstones out of it. Those gemstones are then broken, tumbled, and transported all around the world to give you your fancy amethyst crystal, your pieces of amber, like your tiger's eye. Like, there are places in the world where these natural resources exist, and they are being, like, the land itself is being savagely, like, torn apart because this is one of the only resources that can be done. We also look at the cultural impact of it. There are particular trees, for example. Gosh, I can't remember the name of it right now, but there's a particular tree that is spiritually important to Native American people or First Nations people in America. I hope I'm getting that right. And because that's significantly important to their spiritual practices, knowledge of that tree has become more widespread. And so these trees are now endangered because they're not farmed. They're like, you know, they're hard to kind of grow. They take a long time to grow. But then these trees are being culled, cut, harvested. Just you could buy your small block of, you know, burning wood to smudge or to send or whatever the process is. All because it's someone else's cultural belief. All because it is, again, believed because of this information, because of this awareness that this particular thing is more spiritually significant than anything in your own local environment. And so that's where that other extreme is a problem, where cultures are being taken advantage of, natural resources are being abused. And, you know, in some cases, these countries may or may not have other means to support their economy. You know, there might be places where this is the economic drive that kind of allows these people to live and sustain themselves. And that is a larger, more damaging statement about us as a species and our global society. But maybe we need to stay on target and not get into John's view of how we should all be a better socialist utopia. So what it really needs to come back to is finding that middle ground. We exist in a world where the form of energetic exchange and reciprocity for skills, effort, energy, labors, products, whatever it is provided through an intrinsic exchange of agreed upon value. And that is then broken down into money, is where we're talking about currency. So that is the state of our world. So for any of us, in order to exist and sustain ourselves and to maintain a living in this world and then grow to a point of view where we can do more for others, because that's my and Laura's objective at the end of the day. Laura and I both come from very difficult financial circumstances growing up. I grew up like skating the poverty line with my four siblings, my dad on medical benefits being an ex-army person, and my mom working two jobs, one as an early morning cleaner in AIB banks and the other packing shelves in a local retail store, which I helped her with illegally because I shouldn't have been able to do any form of employment when I was a kid. Come Christmas time, you know, I would be stripping upholstery and learning how to refurnish kind of couches and chairs for, you know, cash in hand scale that we could do in order to support our family. I have no concept of what it is to be rich. I've had to kind of really assess all of this, and I don't want to be. I absolutely abhor the idea of becoming some dragon hoarding wealth, being this like 1% individual who like just has more money than sense or more money than like, you know, they could ever spend in a lifetime. That is antithesis to me. But what I would like to do is be able to have enough money to support my family without stress, without fear, without needing to scrape or scrounge for where the bill is going to come from, where my meal is going to come from, be able to get beyond the fact of like, you know, no, I don't need to buy a new t-shirt because the ones I have haven't fallen apart yet. I want to get to the point where I can pay for my kids to have what they need to, like, you know, provide for their medical future, for their kind of concerns that they may have, for their comfort, for their housing. Folks, when I record this video, I am 41 years old. I have no home. I am renting accommodation.
Hello, this is Laura Ryan, and I want to make sure that you get access to our free gift for you, which is the Roots and Reverence Ancestral Connection Toolkit. So this is a 5-day guided exploration, which will be delivered to you free over email series. And it's as enlightening as it is grounding. It's designed for anyone who feels a kinship with Irish paganism, whether you carry Ireland in your blood, your heart, or the soul memories of lifetime past. There is no cost, only the promise of authentic connection to Ireland, as ever from us. So go to irishpagan.school/roots, that's R-O-O-T-S, to get your ancestral connection toolkit. And again, it's all free, delivered free over 5 days. There's resources, there's exercises, there's connection, there's all sorts of cool stuff. So I hope you enjoy that. It is our free gift to you for being a valued podcast member. So back to the episode.
Thankfully, now we're able to buy a house, to buy a property. It's not currently livable. It's going to need a lot of renovation work. But looking at the way the world is, with rental markets, with housing crises all over the place, and the forthcoming concerns about climate change, I don't know the sustainability of that for my children. The only reason I want to have wealth is so that my children can have it better than I can, and that I can donate as much of it or as more as it to my community, to charities, to help fucking others not have to live in stress and not have to live in fear of where the next meal is going to come from. So all of this exists on a spectrum, folks. Like, you know, when we talk about commercialization and capitalism, yes, there is a problem with excessive capitalism, but we live in a capitalist society. That is the way it is at the moment. And until that system changes, until we can move towards a more, you know, balanced socialist circumstance, then all we can really do is survive in the situation we're in. But as with all of it, it is where the extremes come that there's always going to be a problem. Commercialize your work. Get paid for your skill. Get paid for your talent. I will let you know, those of you who are still with me after this ramble rant and I'm feeling I'm going too far, I had a conversation with a very known and very famous author who is an expert, one of the few experts in translating ancient Irish. Not modern Irish, not old Irish, the old, old Irish. This is such a unique fucking skill. And I had a section of ancient Irish lore, old Irish lore that I had never been translated, and I wanted to hire them to do the work. And they were like, yeah, no, I'll just do it for you. And I was like, no, I'm going to pay you for your expertise, for your knowledge and your expertise and skill that you have invested learning how to do this, very unique fucking thing. And they're like, okay, well, give me a couple of hundred quid, or give me like 100 quid. And I was like, no, I expect you to be invoicing me for a fair and equitable amount. And I rejected their first invoice. They sent me over an invoice for like 100 quid, grand. I did that, you know, and I was like, no. And so they eventually had to go and look up the going rate for word per word translations of a unique expert language linguist. And then they invoiced me properly, and I still wanted them to increase it, but I couldn't argue with them at that point. But, you know, people should expect to be paid for their talent. People should be expected paid for their skills. There's this kind of gig economy, or like working as an intern, like you work for free because you're learning your experience, or like, you know, you turn up and like perform at places to get you good exposure, to raise your brand. People die of exposure. So yeah, you can't eat that. Like, you know, there has to be a balance, and there needs to be an awareness of, the Maslow hierarchy of needs. And once your basics are all being met, once you're being paid fairly, or they're not even paid, once there is fair and respectful reciprocity for the expertise you're providing in a moment, that's what it really comes down to. I feel like I've rambled a lot. And I do hope I've answered your question, Luna. It's a fascinating one, but again, the problem always comes when it goes to the matter of extremes. And when things are being considered purely for their value, as opposed to the information or the exchange or the transformation or the guidance that is being provided. Again, folks, we're not in this to make a book. We're in this to undo generations of misinformation, misappropriation, cultural abuse that has happened to the Irish people. That's why we're in this. That's the goal of having a school, to educate all of this, to educate against all of the harm that has been done. And we're aware, I'm very much aware, how there are many cultures all around the world who have been equally abused by colonizers, been equally abused. And I touched on this in other videos. It's fascinating how countries that were colonized by the same imperialist oppressor seem to have similar traits, seem to have similar kind of senses of humor, seem to have similar kind of issues in regards to alcoholism and like binge drinking and all the rest of that, you know. So there's a lot to be said for the fact that we globally have always had this issue around appropriation and cultural abuse by other more dominant cultures. The only way we can be better about it is by standing up and pushing back. And the way that we can do that in our world as it is at the moment is by saying, here's all of our expertise, but this is the value of the expertise. This is the value of the training. This is the value of Laura's kind of 20 years in Rathcrohan, taking people down into Uvnagach, down into the cave of the cats for them to visit the Morrigan, and being there whilst everyone had experiences and shared their experiences of the Morrigan. Can you put a price on that? It's almost priceless for the level of information and experience. But should you expect to get that for nothing? And the other side of it again is, if you give something away for nothing, the value of it to a person is nothing. And we can see it in the statistics in our school. We're delighted. We pride ourselves on offering scholarships wherever we can. Like, you know, we do honor that as best we can. If someone is like in a financial bind, they can't actually pay for a class, we don't want to block them or inhibit them from learning or from the guidance that they need. And we get emails all the time requesting that, and where we can, we absolutely do our best with it. But we have also had people say, oh yeah, I really need a scholarship for this, and then, you know, a little while later we go and check on them, or they ask for another scholarship for another class and we check and they never did the work on the first class. They're enrolled in one of our like multi-week courses, for example. You know, they got a free pass to say, you know, the Morrigan Intensive, which is a really big program for us every year. Because they got it for nothing, they treat it that it's worth nothing. That's part of the human psyche, maybe. That's part of the other side of it as well. And the programming that we have from our culture as it is. So really what it needs to come back to, and again, I've said really what it needs to come back to, we need to focus on what is it about? It's about reciprocity. It's about equal and fair exchange for skill and for talent and for ability. And at the end of the day, if we can put our hands on our hearts and say that we acted with honor, we acted with honesty, and we lived to principles and values to function as ethically as possible, then surely our needs need to be met. And the more time I, you know, if I don't have to be out grinding away, fulfilling some other person's needs as a corporate individual, driving around in a suit and tie, John, you know, selling energy to companies all over Ireland, then I can focus on where my passion is, where my drive is, where I can create the best amount of change, the best amount of impact, which is here, educating people. So, again, I do hope I've answered the question, Luna. It is an awkward one, and it does need to be considered from multiple different angles, which is why I'm very, very grateful that you sent in the question, because it's an opportunity to explore perspective and how we are treating things in our world today. So from all of us here at the Irish Pagan School, I will say Gaurav Míle Maith, thank you very much for being with us. Do make sure you pop down into the description in the links there and pull out the free resource that's available to you. If you want to know more, definitely avail of that free resource. It's right there for you to know how to target your own growth and how to target your own learning of the books. Also, the person who translates Old Irish, who I had that conversation with, is on that list. And maybe you can guess who it is when you go and check that list. So from all of us here, Gaurav Míle Maith, thank you very much. And until the next time, look after yourself and salam. Goodbye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive review in your podcast listener. Then head over to irishpaganschool.com and enroll in one of our free or paid courses. Sláinte fáil, and we will see you next time.